So Jeremy Bentham summarized, or what's the, perhaps it's better to say systematized, or well, he will tell us best how he thinks of it. He thinks of it as a science, as an art, what he did to this theory of why we obey. So it has been proven, and were it not for this historicist bend in Marxist theory, that and the fact that they then, because money crafts the world it wants, and you, the wage work system is how you do that, because work is how everything gets done, whether it is brain work, quote unquote, or hand work, quote unquote. And so what you fund determines the world we get. And so you fund those, quote unquote, theorists or academics who do the work that you want done. And in the case of, and it's no less true when it comes to Marxist academics, that as long as you continue to push this notion of inevitability about our getting, that socialism is sort of the culmination of inevitable material trends in that's built into capitalism. It creates a kind of a, it did until recently. This is dissipating, I think, what I'm feeling. It created a kind of lethargy, I think, of folks, and a kind of contempt for, which is fed, as Alice Miller shows, by the very child-rearing methods that power ensures are in place. Feeds a kind of contempt for our brothers and sisters, that if it were not for them and their slowness and not grasping these things, you know. So then they blame each other. We blame each other for the fact that we don't have socialism, quote unquote, yet. So we've been operating with faulty premises and assumptions that have been given to us by folks who are either just simply misled, or and are put there to mislead. So power is not going to let control slip from their hands. We have to take our lives back ourselves consciously by discussing how, talking to each other, realizing the tools exist to do it, and getting on with it. So that being the case, that power is not going to let go its grip. What are the strategic implications of this theory that power sculpts the world in which we obey, sculpts the people, sculpts us to obey? What are the implications of this for the theory of why we, of our strategic planning? What are the, what's the strategic implications of the theory of why we obey? Continuing. Now, government supposes the disposition to obedience. Now, that one sentence says it all, doesn't it? I mean, if the left could have got us on that one sentence, we'd be so much further along. Is that true? Why haven't we been discussing that for a few hundred years? Or at least 100. Government supposes the disposition to obedience. So how are we going to get our lives back if we're reared to obey? Continuing, the faculty of governing on the one part has for its sole efficient cause and for its sole measure the disposition to obey on the other part. George Eliot told us this too, right? Command exists, but with obedience. Why haven't we been on it? We've been told it often enough. So long overdue for us to discuss this question of obedience. Continuing, this disposition may have had for its cause either habit or convention. A convention announces the will of one moment, which the will of any other may revoke. Habit is the result of a system of conduct of which the commencement is lost in the abyss of time. A convention, whether it have ever yet been real, start over. Sometimes when I reinvent them, I have to laugh. I mean, he's very clear, and in a sense, I mean, there's I don't know why I find him funny. I guess it's the twists and turns that. Save that for another day if we feel it's necessary. A convention, whether it have ever. Because some of his writing is really good. It's there's poetry in some of its writing. So I'm trying to figure out exactly what it is when it's. There's this really funny quote from some contemporary critic of his, who, and this is a paraphrase, but it sounds like he swallowed a serpent or something. Everything he tries to say comes out all choked and convoluted. And it's, so even the folk in his day were finding him a little indigestible. A convention, continuing, whether it have ever yet been realized or not, is at least a conceivable and possible cause of this disposition to obedience from which government and what is called political society and the only real laws result. He goes on and on about there is no natural law. Where we heard, I mean, he's been, that's been, the right continually says that because it finds each new generation actually feels we have these sort of natural allegiances. Our bodies pull us, and then have to jump on that and say, no, that's false. A convention. Oh, I don't want to read that again. Where are we? Okay, only real laws result. Habit of only real laws result from the state. Habit of obedience is the cause, a little less sure, the foundation a little less solid of this useful social disposition, and happily the most common. That's how he gets on the parents, to make sure that this habit don't go nowhere. Continuing, the true rampart, the only rampart, the true rampart, the only rampart against a tyrannical government has always, and this is really funny, these next three paragraphs, because it's very revealing of his passion. Maybe that's what I, in addition to his, there's a lot with Bentham I vibe with, his focus, total focus to get the goal. I mean, that's what we got to do ourselves, right? You ain't gonna get there unless if you are real focused on it, is what he's been telling Power. I vibe with that. I vibe with his strategic thinking. You know, if you got a goal, I mean, be honest. How does this lead to the goal? Be honest about your goal. His honesty, I vibe with, except for little things he didn't credit Plato. I didn't think that was totally honest, but whatever. And courage isn't the right word. What's the right word? I don't have the right word, but what I'm trying to get at is his freedom with language. He just, he didn't care. If a word didn't exist, he made it up, you know. So he was bold with the use of words. He wanted to own the lexicon. That was another key contribution of his to power. You got to control the definition of things. And that's an important point. We have to control our definitions, not let them get seized as they always are, have been generation after generation. And I vibe with his passion. I mean, it's a pretty dead, dry form, but I mean, it comes through in the writing. So he says, the true rampart, the only rampart against a tyrannical government, has always been and still is the faculty of allowing this disposition to obedience, without which there is no government either to subsist or to cease. Isn't that funny? I mean, he's so passionate about let obedience alone. Come on. Do you want tyranny? Let the people be obedient. Let the people be obedient, please. He's like begging his bosses and masters. And I find that really funny. He was very clear about his allegiance. And so we're begging in the opposite direction. Please get those chains off your head. Please. We want to be free as the birds. Let it happen. Get the mind locks off and let's start thinking.